Good morning, everybody. It's so good to see you all again and to be here to worship and praise as we always do in this church. We sense such a great presence of the Lord as we just enter in together, and I trust you feel that. We should ask God every day that we would feel His presence. That's what the Lord's Day is about. It just kind of prepares us for the rest of the week. So we walk in the presence all the time. It's just not for this moment. The first day of the week, like the first fruits, who Jesus is, prepares us for life and living. And so it's so good to really worship the Lord with all our strength. That's why we lift our hands and we clap our hands. There's meaning to it. Scripture actually shows us when we clap our hands, we are actually smiting the evil one, taking our place, constantly standing before the Lord. I know it's supernatural living, and it doesn't sound real sensible to a lot of other people, but it's sensible to us because we put our faith and trust in God. Once again this morning, I really appreciate the choices of worship songs. I think it's changing again, and God is bringing it back to so much basic truth. But it's just putting God in His place, as we've been singing about this morning. We won't be shaken. Amen? Turn to somebody and just say, I won't be shaken in the name of Jesus. And I know that took faith for you to do that because you walked through some things, right? Life is filled with all kinds of trouble, situations that we face. But we overcome it because we wholly trust in the Lord. Amen? So it's good to be here. Hallelujah. I was looking at this sign here, and I really was enjoying that this morning. Have you been reading that? Can you all see that? I mean, if that's all true, this is a great place. This is really a great place to be. All of Dunville and all of southern Ontario should be in this place if we really believe that. Because it's so important to be normal, right? In this house, we do second chances. How many here are thankful for the second chance? Have you ever had a second chance in your life? God is good at that, amen? And this church is good about it. Hallelujah. We need to rejoice in that this morning. We do grace. I like that. We do mistakes. Yeah, I mean, you know, some people would probably struggle with that a little bit and say we shouldn't confess that. But the truth of the matter is we do mistakes. We don't need to be confessing it and living by it all the time, but we do mistakes. We are very, very normal people, but we're not failures. We are people that walk through mistakes and get up again by the grace of God. Amen. We do real. I really like that one. And we do I'm sorry. Everybody says Canadians are really good about saying I'm sorry, 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 sorry. But anyway, that's really good. We do loud really well. I haven't heard you yet. Do loud. Come on. Give a shout to the Lord. Just say, Jesus, I love you. Amen. Jesus, I love you. Hallelujah. We do loud in this place. And we do hugs. We do love and we do family. You better stand up. We need to hug a few people and do what that says. Amen. Stand up with me. And let's once again hug about, three or four, maybe five people here this morning and tell them that you love them because Jesus loves us. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I need to get my hug.
Yeah.
Bless you. I love you, Lorraine. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just love church like this. I mean, church should really be a family place. And I really think the Jubilee has a leading edge on this if we believe it and we walk in it. All supernatural living is by faith. And we have to trust that what we do, according to the Word of God, is working in our lives, and we believe that it is. Amen? Amen. Praise you, Jesus. We just came back, my wife and I, we were down in Missouri, actually, where I think I've spoken to you before about this, but our grandson, my daughter's oldest son, played football all his life growing up in Toronto, and he has a scholarship now to the University of Missouri, and we were down getting him set up as he began his school year. We happened to see the first game, and they won it. Thank goodness for that. And, that made grandparents rejoice a little bit. And believe it or not, my grandson is a defensive end. He's 265 pounds, 6'3". And he got a sack in this game. And that's a real, real breakthrough. If some of you understand football, that's his task, is to sack the quarterback. And when you get one, they really make a show about it. In fact, he got on the highlight reel of the team. And they made this big deal after he got the sack. He's jumping up in the air like this, you know, and just going on and putting on a real a show after he did it. And it reminded me again, listen, that we can shout for all kinds of other things, but we have a problem really continually shouting for the Lord. Don't let that happen here, amen? This church is built upon the shout and the joy and the excitement of the Lord. And we need to enter into it together. We came back from there, and as we were listening on the radio, one thing I like about traveling in the United States is that they have a lot of conservative talk shows. We don't have very many here at all. And I think you understand what I'm saying. And the second thing is they have so much programs about the Lord that you can listen to all the time. But mostly the talk that I was experiencing on this particular trip as I listened was about judgments that are coming to America. And because of the things that have been happening, I mean, you look at the protests that have been taking place in America. America never saw this before. And I don't think there's a nation of the world has seen as much as they're seeing. Some are predicting that it's just the beginning of what they're going to see. And so there were a lot of spiritual leaders that were even saying that this is the judgment of God on America. I struggle with that, honestly, a little bit, because I'm not sure, according to God's word, that we're called to look at that way. And that's what I want to talk to you about here this morning. The other things that they've been seeing, of course, are hurricanes. And even as we sit in this beautiful place here this morning and worship God, there's some people in Florida that are not in their place. In fact, when I had crossed the border and we just stopped on the other side of the border for a few moments, I talked to a gentleman and asked him where he was from. And he said, believe it or not, I'm from Florida. He said, I got one of the last planes out. Thank God, he said, that I got a flight. And he said, I was able to fly to Buffalo. And I have relatives in Niagara-on-the-Lake, he said, that have taken me in for 4 days. It's kind of interesting how all that works out, isn't it? In the way that it's done. But it was exciting for us to know that God wants to speak to us something other than judgment. Because so many are feeling that that's it. The other thing that's happening in America, of course, is the talk of war all the time. The things that are happening in North Korea aren't really happening yet. It's probably what the Bible talks about, rumors of war. You know, you can talk about a lot of things. So there's talk about all this stuff, about the protests, about the hurricanes that are hitting America, and they affect us all. Some were talking to me here today about how it can affect right up here by what is taking place there. And then the rumors of war, talking about judgment. I want to talk to you this morning about what I'm calling. I felt the Lord was really freshly putting this in my spirit that we need to make a choice about this. So I'm calling this judgment or miracles. Everybody say that with me. Judgment or miracles. Now, if you think that God is judging you, even as you have Christ inside of you, you will have a real hard time to ever have a miracle in your life. Because if God's judging you, why would He give you a miracle? I mean, am I making that as clear as I can this morning? If God is judging you, why would He give you a miracle? The Bible's full of miracles. And it was generally after the people of God and even the nation of Israel had walked away from the Lord. As we're seeing all over the land today, there's so much unrighteousness that has filled the land. But I believe in my heart that God's plan was all the way along not to bring judgment, but to bring miracles. And in every situation through the Scriptures, if you will study the Scriptures properly, you will find after everything that went wrong, if the people of God would turn their hearts and attention to the Lord, God would bring miracles. Now, Pastor Ralph told me that this fall, or this in this season, he's speaking about miracles. Is that true? Now, there must be reason. There must be a great reason why this is brought to this church. God is trying to emphasize something that He wants in you forever. I've said it for a long time because I felt God gave me a certain affinity with this church. A relationship many, many years ago that started with Ralph Sr., then with Frida, and of course the whole family. And now with Pastor Ralph, I really believe that God has wanted from the beginning to make this a miracle house. That's how it was established, and that's what God wanted to stay in this place. And that's why I believe now that the emphasis has come back, even for a preaching or a teaching period, to share with you about miracles. And for you to get it settled and be expecting every day, could I say of every moment of every day, that God is going to do something miraculous. In your life and in the life of others. I mean, that's the way this church will be filled with people who are going to know God. And I believe that things are happening to bring people to Himself, but they respond to miracles. Now, let me ask you something. If the greatest teacher in the world, whose name is Jesus, would you agree with me? The greatest teacher, the teaching man, the man Christ Jesus, who was God and man, the greatest teacher that ever was on the scene taught us that the way God manifests Himself is through miracles. Because He did miracles every day and He said, I must be about this for every moment that I'm here. Every moment that He was on the earth, He wanted to be about miracles. The enemy of our soul, Satan himself, tries to get us away from the supernatural. So we will live by the natural. And God wants us to always live by the supernatural. Jesus, who was perfect in all His ways and understood the ways of God perfectly, would never allow Himself to be controlled by just the natural. And He had lots of natural ability. I mean, I don't think there was anyone on the earth that could ever speak so wisely and form His words and His phrases and His teachings and what He said so miraculously. Jesus was a tremendous natural teacher, but He relied upon the supernatural. And the supernatural is what makes the difference for God's glory to come. So I'm here this morning because I love this place. And I'm saying to you, what do you want to choose? Judgment or miracles? Make up your mind. Turn and look at somebody and just say, make up your mind. Is that all right? My little granddaughter, Abby, my son's youngest, when she was just a little girl, how old would she be? 2 or 3 years of age, I guess, Elaine. She was really, really very, very young. And I was doing some stuff for her. I was waffling a little bit about what I was doing. And this little girl just looked right at me and she says, Papa, make up your mind. Isn't it amazing? Now, even as I stand here today, I've never forgotten that. I've never forgotten that. Some things we need to make up our mind about and never let the enemy take it out of us. And we need to make choices about this. Now, talking about judgments, God can bring, this thing is coming up on me just a little bit. God can bring judgment because He's a just God. And there's a day coming when there will be judgment. But you need to be careful to understand what the judgment is for. The judgment is not because God wants to destroy people or He dislikes people or He wants to make them sick. Now just think about that for a moment. Many teach that God makes you sick. That it's His fault. And that's not the truth. Now, God sometimes uses it in our lives, but it didn't originally come from God. It comes from the evil one. And this is what we need to settle in our lives and know this. So he will bring judgment, but we need to be careful to understand what He will judge and why He will judge. And this is where I believe the teachings of Jesus in the Gospels makes this more clear than any other. I think one of the ways we fail in the church is that we tend to take most of our teachings from the epistles. And the epistles are important, but I'm convinced they're not as important as what Jesus said. Because what Jesus said is what the epistles should be. We can get all the forms of religion and theology set in place, and we get most of that from the epistles in the Bible. I was just driving down, coming here this morning and going by after one Reformed church after another. I went by one Reformed church and there was another church right next to it. And I said, I wonder what that one would be. It was another form of Reformed. I think you understand what I'm saying. We went a little further and there was another Reformed of Reform. And most of all that comes from the epistles in the Bible. We miss what Jesus taught about the kingdom. We are called in the church, which is seen in the epistles, to live the kingdom. And the kingdom is really the truth about what God is in our lives. And Jesus shared that. That's what I'd like to encourage all of you this morning, to get back to really understanding the Gospels in the Bible. Go over them over and over again. And then relate them to the rest of the Scriptures, the Old Testament and the Epistles. And all the Scriptures in the Bible should be related to what Jesus said. Because no one could explain it like He could. I'm convinced if we would learn to live the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave us all the time, we would be so successful in living our life of faith. And so He reveals all these things to us. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 9. John's Gospel, chapter 9. Father, we ask for help again this morning, as we share these things from Your Word and from Your heart through the words of Jesus and the understanding of His life. We ask You, Lord, to make this so clear in this church body that we will just be a people who constantly are excited about the fact that the miraculous is taking place all around us. Lord, do an amazing work, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit of God, and magnify Jesus in every way. May He be seen and understood in what we say. We thank You for Your presence now that constantly overwhelms us and helps us in declaring Your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody said loudly, amen. Amen. Make up your mind. Judgment or miracles? I'm going to read in chapter 9. I'm going to go through maybe some things in the Scripture through the whole chapter, but quickly. But I want to share with you just a few verses so that you can understand where we're going. And I'm going to be reading John chapter 9, verses 1 to 4, and John 9, 39 to 41. If you'd like to write those down, you need to, because it will connect what took place in this Scripture. The first verses are in the beginning of a chapter, and the last verses are right at the end. Let me read it to you. Would you listen clearly, everybody? Now, as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Rabbi, Who sinned this man or his parents that he was born blind? Now, that really sounds like religious talk, doesn't it? Who's to blame for this? Verse 3, and Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the work of God should be revealed in him. Wow, what a scripture. Now, we all know that they were sinned. These parents and this man had sinned in his life, as we have sinned in our life. But Jesus was saying very clearly that sin is not the cause of his sickness. That's not what did it. It's not his mistake that caused this to happen. And then Jesus says in verse 4, I must work the work of him who sent me, while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. Look at verses 39 to 41. Chapter 9. And Jesus said, for judgment, I have come into the world. Look at that. It sounds completely opposite, doesn't it? But read on. For judgment, I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sins remain. Now, Jesus used certain words to bring this to pass. But basically what he was saying is, the judgment that will come against people or against you is a refusal to believe Jesus is Lord and Messiah. That's the area of the judgment. And Jesus made it as clear as can be here. I was listening the other day, I think maybe when I was away, that someone had said on the radio that Billy Graham had just recently said in America, that America's greatest failure is the sin of pride. Their unwillingness to acknowledge sin. Now you think about that for a moment. The sin of pride is the unwillingness to acknowledge sin. And that's basically the way that society is living today. They're just making like sin does not exist. But the sin of pride is what keeps people from receiving Jesus. And as long as our hearts are open to receive Jesus, I believe that we are in tune for miracles. And Jesus knew that about this man in this story. But the most important thing that he wants us to grasp is that while he went through this with this blind man and he brought healing to him, he was born blind. It was the confession of his parents that from the day he was born, he was blind. Jesus touched him and brought a miracle and changed his life. That's what's important for us to see. But also, he wanted the disciples to learn what he was teaching them. And he was basically teaching them that sin and all that's in the earth is in the earth. Sickness is in the earth, but it comes from the evil one. And the evil one came to destroy us. And Jesus came to bring miracles to us. And God wants the miraculous to work forth in our lives. So many that I have seen in my life through the years that have been believing God for healing in their lives, they constantly, after time of maybe needing patience to walk in what God has said, they drift back to a place of unbelief because they feel that somehow they're being judged. I'm telling you, friends, the judgment was taken upon Jesus for sin and sickness. And we need to be a people that believe for His healing power. Amen? And we walk in it by the grace of God. That's what took place in this story here. So Jesus wanted the disciples to understand clearly that it wasn't this man's sin nor the sin of his parents that caused the sickness. It's very clear here in the Word of God. And may we see it this morning in our spirit. And know what God is saying to us. Sickness is not because you did something wrong, but it is so the work of God can be revealed. And the work of God, I believe, will be revealed here this morning if we believe God for the miraculous. And I'm not only speaking about healing, I'm speaking about any level of miracles that we're believing God for in our lives to be fulfilled and God's purposes to be done in us. So that's the first point that I want you to get from what Jesus taught in this scripture, in the Word of God. We're supposed to understand that sickness and what we perceive to be judgment comes from the enemy, and God wants to bring miracles in that situation. If we will believe Him and take it in our lives and trust in Him wholly. Bless you, Lord Jesus. The second truth that I want you to see from this scripture this morning, that when you have the miracles working in your life, that you are going to touch other people. The one thing that brings people to the realities of Jesus Christ is the miraculous. Now, there were three groups of people in this story. I maybe won't take time to go through it verse by verse here this morning, but there were three groups of people in this particular story that Jesus showed us would receive from the miraculous in your life. And that's the second point that I want you to see, that the miracles that take place in our lives, even this morning or any day that we live, are so that others will see the glory of God and come to the knowledge of Jesus. The first group that God wants to meet you, that wants to meet Jesus through you, is your neighbors. And that's what's talked about in this scripture. Jesus did an amazing miracle. I've often been kind of hung out on it myself when I looked at this scripture and said, why did He do it this way? You know, it seems so strange that he would kneel down and spit in the ground. Spit in the ground. And He spit in the ground, takes His finger somehow, or maybe a stick or something, and He stirs it all up and makes mud. You ever wondered why He did it this way? Why He would do that? Is that catching my... It must be catching me back here, kind of coming off a little bit. It's okay, it's just coming up off my ears. And He makes the mud. Then He takes the mud and He smears it in the blind man's eyes. You know, most people would say, get out of here. What are you doing? You know what I think He was doing? He was helping them to understand the folly of religion. Because, see, I could get hung up, you could get hung up on why He did that, and every religious person in the world, I think, has been hung up on it. Now, what's the supernatural spirit significance of the spit? What's the significance of the mud? Why did He rub it in His eyes? Why would He do that to a blind man? See, religion is always trying to get you to do something. And He was showing the folly of that. We receive totally by faith. And not only did he spit and make mud and put it in His eyes, then He said to the blind man, go down to the pool Siloam and wash. Anybody here ever been to Israel? Yeah, you've been to Israel. You remember, Frieda, we went down to the pool of Siloam? Were you disappointed? I was so disappointed in that pool. It was like a little mud hole. Remember?
just like something you see out in the farmer's field. There was hardly any water in it. And it's down in the Palestinian area of Jerusalem. You got to go down these big steps to get to the bottom of Mount Zion, remember? I'd rather be up on Mount Zion than down in this mud hole. But you get down, and it's just a little pool. And Jesus says, go down there and wash. So just think about how religious people think. Now, what's the significance of the spit? Significance of the mud? What's the significance of the pudding in his eyes? Why did he tell them to go to the pool? And why did this guy have to wash? Jesus could have just said, poof, and made those eyes whole. But you know what Jesus was doing is always, always testing the level of faith. And it doesn't take a lot of faith. It just takes real faith. Because to every man, according to the Scriptures, we've been given a measure of faith. Now, your faith might be bigger than mine. Probably is, Bob. I've talked to you long enough, many times. Your faith is maybe bigger than mine. But it doesn't matter a whole lot. Because they don't need a lot. Jesus said, all you need is faith is the size of a grain of a mustard seed. And you can move a whole mountain. Really, all Jesus was doing with this man was testing that little bit of faith. And he did have faith to receive from the Lord. So the Bible tells us that he came back after all this. Mud and spit in your eyes. Going down to this incredibly, what I call an unbelievable place when I see it. Now, maybe it was in Jesus' day, it was a little better, the pool. But anyway, and coming back, and then Jesus, he came back, and the Bible just says it so nonchalantly. He came back seeing. He came back seeing. And there were three groups of people that Jesus wants to touch through your miracles. The first one is your neighbors. Now, you're wondering sometimes, how will neighbors in this whole area of Dunville, this part of Ontario, how will they come to the Lord? How will God fill His house? How will things be done through my life? The one way that I say that they'll respond to the gospel that you believe is when they see the miraculous in your life. If they don't see the miraculous in your life, it's very difficult for them to understand the things of God. In the days, years ago, when my brother and I, when I look back on some of this, and we probably both of us have talked here quite a bit about it because it's in our lives, we saw a great move of God in Eastern Canada where God just supernaturally touched people with the miraculous. I mean, I shared with you over and over again that in services, people would just cry out, they're healed. We could be singing songs and all of a sudden someone would jump up to their feet and just say, Jesus just healed me. Miracle after miracle, deliverance after deliverance. And I became aware that what people respond to is the miraculous of God. But the people that will respond to your life are your personal neighbors. And that's who Jesus wanted us to understand in this story. They were the ones that were reaching out. Some of the neighbors, the Bible tells us when they saw him, some said, it's him. And others said, I think it's him. Because all they could remember was his blindness. And you remember how it's written in the Bible? It's so neat how it's given here. The man just says, it's me. It's he. It's me. And he was healed. And God wanted to touch neighbors in his life. So your miracle is for more than you. It's for neighbors to come to the kingdom of God. Now, when all this was happening at our church, I remember years ago where God was giving a great move of His Spirit, and I'm expecting more and more of it all over the land. I'm expecting it here at Jubilee. In fact, there's not a day that I don't pray for this church and remember that God wants to do a great thing to bring people to himself yet through the miracles in this house. That's why you're touching on it right today. Anyway, we're living in this house that the first little home that we had, it was a 900 square foot home, just a small little home that we could afford in those days. And some of you think that interest rates are going to go a little bit higher. We were paying 23% interest for our little home on our mortgage. So you think of that, 23%. Some are worried about it going to 4 or 5%. It probably will wipe a lot of people out because they borrowed too much. But anyway, we had this little home. And some people from our church moved in next door to us. And I remember my wife and I saying, well, you know, we just got to watch our lives and everything we do because people from the church are living right next door. And so we had to learn to live with that. They were on one side of our home. If you looked at our home this way, they were to the left. And they were wonderful people who came to the church. Anyway, when God was showing us all of this, little did I believe, on the other side of our home was one of the most ungodly people that I ever knew. His mouth was totally foul. Every second word was cursing the name of Jesus. He talked about every evil that you could imagine. He was a very unrighteous person. Any of you know those type of people? And every thought went through my mind. His name was Peter. Every thought went through my mind. How will God ever touch Peter? And I tried to live the life. You try to talk to him and do all kinds of stuff. Anyway, down the road, I would think maybe, oh, it would be a good year maybe after things were really happening. Peter comes over one day, stands in my driveway, and he says, I came to your church the other day. He said, you didn't see me sitting at the back, but he said, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And he said, the reason that I came is because, he said, I ran into several people in the church that told me about the miracles that God was doing in their lives. And he said, I needed a miracle. It was only a matter of a few days. His wife came to the Lord. The whole family was serving the Lord and became one of the most powerful couples in the church. Nothing's impossible with God. But listen to me, church. We need to believe for and see the miracles taking place in our lives. So if any of you here this morning, I think you probably all need some form of miracles. Would you agree with me? We all need different forms of miracles. Would you just look at a neighbor, someone beside you, and say, this is not just, my miracle is not going to be just for me, it's for my neighbors. Say that, it's for my neighbors. Doesn't that just feel good? It's so great when we understand that the miraculous in our lives is for our neighbors. The second group in this story that the miraculous was for is for the religious. For the religious came questioning this miracle in this blind man's life. Now, I've learned to recognize this, even when in that move that we saw for so many years in Eastern Canada, and for where we've been in the world, I've recognized when God starts moving in the miraculous, people who have any form of religion are drawn to it. Because they have a tendency to move toward things of God. They may not be really understanding about who Jesus is, but they will become seeking. I remember in one meeting when God was moving and doing tremendous things, there were two rows of Mormons that sat across the back of the church. And the reason they were there is because they heard of the miraculous. And that God was doing miracle things all the time. In that time, one of the most significant things that happened is that the Catholic priests started to come. Because of the miracles. And he knew that he needed help. because he had people who needed the miracles of God in the Catholic Church. And he didn't know what to do with some of them. So he came one day and sat in my office. I didn't ask for any of this. The Catholic priest sits down in my office and he said, I have this person in the church that's totally bound by an evil spirit. He said, it's so bad. When you go into the house, you smell the foulness of the spirit. He said, it absolutely stinks with a tremendous stench. And it's everywhere. He said, her husband notices it so much that he's ashamed to go with her in a grocery store. Because she is so bound by this thing. And this Catholic priest looked at me sitting there and he said, I don't know what to do for her. You know, if I hadn't read the Bible, I wouldn't know what to do for her. I'll never forget these things. Why I'm saying it today, I'm not sure. But anyway, we prayed that Jesus would take that evil spirit out, and God did an amazing work in her life. And she started to serve Jesus, but her husband would not yield to receive Jesus in his life. And this is the point that I'm going to make to you clearly this morning. The judgments will come because of the rejection of Jesus. Not because you did something wrong. Anyway, the religious are drawn to the Lord. Now, how many here this morning would really like to see some religious people around this area drawn to know Jesus, would you? I would really like to see that. There's a lot of religious stuff going on. I referred to the Reformed Church a little bit. And I say that just rather, it's just one church. But there's a lot of stuff. The reason you can speak of the Reformed Church, because really the Reformed Church was named after the Reformation. And yet so much religious stuff that can come into our families. Jesus wants to touch them. And the thing that breaks through in their lives is when they will see the miraculous. Okay, number one, through your miracle, he wants your neighbors to know the Lord. Number two, the religious. Number three in this story, the third group that were drawn to the Lord through what happened to this blind man when he was healed, was relatives. So Jesus wants to touch your neighbors, the religious, and relatives in your life. And we see it all. We see it in this story that the parents responded. Now, the Bible tells us here that they were fearful to say the name of Jesus, so that it was Jesus that did it, because of all the Jews or the Pharisees that were in the temple were throwing people out if they said it, that it came from Jesus. It's an amazing story. And even the blind man picks up on it. And it's referred to in the scripture. You should read it when you go home through the whole chapter and try to understand the whole thing the way it said. But even the blind man picked it up and said, it's an amazing thing that all of you Pharisees can say that Jesus was a sinner and to give glory to God. And it wasn't Jesus that did this. But the blind man went on to say, it's amazing that you didn't understand this. That Jesus or anyone couldn't do anything like performing a miracle unless it came from God. Anyway, the three groups that Jesus wants to touch. And I believe it's important that we get this from the teaching of Jesus. Because it works over and over again. His neighbors, the religious, and relatives will come to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. In that move of God that was taking place in our church, you remember the next thing that I want to refer to, Elaine, that I thought about here when this was all in my mind just the last few days. There was one girl that had come into our church that was, if she wasn't blind, she was nearly blind. because without these glasses, you know how they've said that some people's glasses look like the bottom of Coke bottles. Well, this would be twice as thick as that. These glasses were so thick and so obvious. She wore them from the day she came to the church. And she was one in one of these meetings of just praising God, of just worshiping God and praising God in the atmosphere of continually praising for miracles, who shouted out, "I'm healed," and threw the glasses away. I'll never forget it. I had no idea that the Lord was going to do great things like this. Do you remember? Her name was Jane. Try to remember Jane. And God touched her. And through that miracle, within a matter of a few months, her entire family came to the Lord. She had four sisters. And they all were talented singers. And they started to sing in the house of God. And so they not only touched their immediate family, but they touched the extended family, and just numbers of family members came to the Lord. Because the Coke bottle glasses were gone. From that day on, she never wore them again. It was just a clear, beautiful, powerful miracle that took place. So I'm telling you, and I pray that we could get excited about this again this morning. Could we get excited, everybody, about the fact that God wants to touch not only you and give you your miracle, but He wants to touch your neighbors, the religious, and bring family to Himself. That's what I see in the Scripture about the truth. Hallelujah. What an amazing story. So number one, what he wanted Jesus, the truth that Jesus wanted to reveal in this part of the Bible. Number one was that sickness or things that come upon us aren't because you did something wrong. The reason things are upon us is because God wants to show Himself and reveal Himself in the world. Sickness is just there because sin came into the world years ago. And Jesus wants to show miracles in our lives. Amen? And number two, He wants to touch people. Neighbors, the religious, and your family. And I say hallelujah. And number three, I think this is really important when you consider the miraculous. Is that whenever things are happening in our life, there can come moments where we are discouraged and we're alone. And what happened in this story was that the blind man was so excited and was touching all these people, and the Pharisees who were struggling, the real serious religious Pharisees who were struggling with even to believe Jesus, they wouldn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They actually took this man who was blind and now he saw and threw him out of the temple. I just can't imagine this ever happening in God's house. But nevertheless, this is what took place. They threw him out of the temple because he believed in Jesus. And he was out there on his own. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he ministered to him so he could clearly understand the process of salvation. The third point that I want to make to you this morning is that Jesus will always find you where you are. And this is such an amazing thing for us to understand as we serve the Lord together. That sometimes when we're trying to live the life of the miraculous, it takes patience and time. And we must stay steadfast in the things of God. And there can be a lot of discouragements that fill our lives. I'm so grateful for the people in my life that are close to me and would call me and touch me many, many times in my life. And I would, just like that, feel the presence of Jesus and know that He found me again. Listen, He'll never let you go. He'll always find where you're at. And He will touch you in your moment of need. And He will bring you to the truth. Hallelujah. Now, I don't care what you're walking through this morning or how difficult it's been. Jesus knows where you're at. And that's why you're here in this place this morning. That's why the Word is coming alive in your spirit. That's why possibilities are flowing in your heart to know that He's the God of the miraculous. And He wants to touch us by His grace and bring us through. Now, let me close again by just making it clear so that you understand. When it says in verse 39, "For judgment I have come into the world," Jesus was simply saying the thing that would judge the Pharisees is because they were so filled with pride about their religion, about who they were, that they would not choose to believe Jesus, in Jesus. And that's the only thing that would bring judgment in this situation. Aren't you glad this morning, listen everybody, that we're freed from judgment? That we are standing in the grace of God and the power of God is filling our hearts to be all that God wants us to be. Hallelujah. Can I say to you this morning, believe your miracle, because God is in the process of bringing miracles into your life so that He can do the work of God wherever He's called to do it. Amen. Let's stand up, everybody. And we'll give Him thanks. Could I have the...